Bless the name of the Lord. Just worship him. Tell him he's a good God. He's a mighty God. He's a loving Father. He did not leave us in this world without help. He's our helper, a mighty deliverer, the God that always comes through for us, the God that always fights our battle. Mighty indeed. Let's bless his name. Worship him. Give him glory. Father, we worship you. Perhaps right now your life does not seem that God has been faithful or he has been doing you well. Just declare it. He's a good God and he has the intention to do us good. Father, we worship you. We magnify your name. This morning, your children have come into your presence. May none of us live here the way we came. Father, we have come to Mount Zion. Jehovah, we pray that this morning there shall be deliverance from your altar in the name of Jesus. There will be healing in the name of Jesus. Burdens shall be lifted at Calvary this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless your name. Life shall be changed, transformation in the name of Jesus. Divine inspiration, divine wisdom. Mighty Father, your word says that you daily load us with your benefits. Let your benefits be released even into our hearts, into our lives this morning. Thank you, Eternal Rock of Ages. As we look into your word, Eternal Rock of Ages, we surrender unto you. Thank you, Father, because the presence of God is here with us. Thank you because your Holy Spirit resides in us. Father, we lift up ourselves unto you and we surrender unto you. That Lord, speak through us, O God. Give us a listening ear in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of distraction, we pull you down by the power in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless your name. We give you glory. We magnify your name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Woo! I am happy to be in the house of God. If you are happy to be in the presence of God, I want you to shout hallelujah again. Woo! Amen. There is no better place to be than the presence of God. Our God is a good God. Hallelujah. I want to thank the pastorate for the opportunity and to be here today to be a vessel that God will be speaking through today. I thank the pastorate for giving me this opportunity. And I also want to thank and acknowledge the Holy Spirit for helping me and to prepare this message. It's more or less like God has just been, from the Bible study we had the day we had the Bible study on Wednesday, it seemed like there was an expo, you know. Exactly what the men learned was the same thing that the women learned, and it was the same thing that I was already putting together in my PowerPoint. And the only thing I could say was, thank you, Jesus, because I know you are the one that is releasing this message. So please, let's focus on Jesus this morning, because he has a word for all of us. Praise the Lord. So we'll be looking at Luke chapter 4, 1 to 13. I know the beginning of the month, and the pastor released the message for the month. He told us the God has given us the word, power and authority of children of God. And the next day, he released a Bible verse for us to pray with, to use. So I'm not sure how many of us did that. And I don't think in prior months that we always had that opportunity. Usually they just tell us the word for the month, but this time around they gave us the word. I'm not sure if any of us went back to read the word and pray it. But today we have an opportunity to read it. Peradventure, you did not have time to look at it. Let's go back to the first slide, please. So there's going to be lots of scriptures today, so please bear with me. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, I want you to echo it for me. The one that is bold in there, what did Jesus say? Thank you. So that's the only thing I need you guys to be giving me feedback on. Man shall not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him an instant, in an instant, all the kingdoms of the world And he said to him, I will give you all their glory and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be all yours. Jesus answered, thank you. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. Jesus answered, thank you. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him for a while. Praise the Lord. Thank God that we all said the word of God. So today, by the special grace of God, we'll be looking at the topic, authority and power in the written word. Everybody, let's say it together. Authority and power in the written word. There is authority, there is power in prayer, there is power through the Holy Spirit, there is power through speaking in tongues, but today we'll be focusing on the written word, and we'll be using the word of Jesus from Luke 4, 1:13, and we can see there that he kept saying, it is written, it is written. And if Jesus, who was the Savior of the world, who is God, could be tempted, how much more me, how much more you? So the temptation will come at every time. And sometimes we normally imagine temptation to be like what we normally see in storybooks, the Bible, where they draw this big beast talking to the serpent, or they draw a snake talking to Eve. You know, temptation can come in various forms. It can be in form of your friend, your spouse, your children, the community, our thought, everything around us could be temptation. So Jesus was tempted, but the Bible does not really tell us how, if the devil actually came physically to him, or it was through his mind, or it was through circumstances. After all, he was fasting, right? So you'll be hungry, just like we just finished our 50 days fasting. Some days the enemy might tell you, you're not the one that killed Jesus. Eat, oh, you know, your medication, you know, you are this, your work, you have children to take care of, you know, different thoughts will come. But that does not mean there are some times that genuinely we may not be able to fast. Those ones are okay. But there are temptations that comes in different forms. Some can be at your place of work. You left home, you just went to work, and somebody is there, you know, distracting you, trying to get your attention, trying to make you angry. But you should always know that the main person that is our enemy is the devil, not that individual. Praise the Lord. So the devil knows there are things that are conflicting and trying to get our attention. He knows people want to place emphasis on money. They want to place emphasis on physical things. They want to place emphasis on food. They want fame. People want fame, you know. So it is our own position to use what? It is written. It is written. And that is why we're looking at the word in and the topic, authority and power in the written word. Praise the Lord. We'll go to the next slide. We're talking of authority and power. What is authority? So from here, we have a definition here. It's legal right to give command. All authority has been given to Jesus. By the virtue that he came to die, he got the authority. He got the power. And today he's seated with his Father in heavenly places, far above principalities. And guess what he did? He delegated that power to us. He delegated that authority to us. So we have authority. We can't live in this world like people that have been beaten, bombarded, without help. And we are just saying, God, have mercy, help me. You know, we have authority. Say, I have authority. I have authority. And as you can see from that picture, you see that person standing there and the others are below him. The devil is under our feet. Circumstances are under our feet. Nothing should overwhelm us. We are on top. We have authority. God has given us that authority. So we need to know who we are. We need to know what our right is. And then the next one is power. What is power? How do we get this power? We hear people in the world looking for power, and in the process of looking for power, so many things are being done. They are getting into so many, they're engaging into so many things. Guess what? We have power. I have power. You have power. And what is this power? It's ability to do something. I can do something. I can heal the sick. I can raise the dead. I can pray for someone that is oppressed and they will be well. How can I do this? We are going to see that. So we have this power, ability to do it. So not just Jesus did not just give us the authority. He also gave us the power. We can do something. It's ability to do something or rate at which energy is transferred. I can transfer the anointing in me into someone else. You can transfer the anointing in you into someone else. We carry power. We carry authority. So in our places of work, we are the Jesuses in those places. In our community, we are the light and the Jesus they are looking for. I want to bless God. I think before the pandemic, there was a brother in this fellowship, in this church. One of the receptionists there was not feeling well. She was having a terrible headache. And this brother held her hand and prayed for her. Before the service was over, this lady was well. And she testified that she was well. That is how we are supposed to be operating as children of God. We should not just wait for pastor that, okay, I will link you with my pastor. Or be afraid. We should freely be able to pray with someone that is sick, not asking them first, have you taken Panadol? Have you gotten to the hospital? We should pray first. Prayer should be first thing that we do. We should release the power. We have that power. So I want you to know that you have that power in you. It's just like electricity, right? The way it's generated, and then we pay money, and then we have the electricity in this house, in this hall now. So if you don't connect your plug, will you be able to have access to the electricity? No. So you already have the power. There is the power in the house, but you need to be connected. So same thing with us. We have the power. Jesus has won the victory. He has given the power to us. So it is now left for us to exercise it. So not only do we just have power, we have authority and power. It's like a policeman. Let me use the scenario of a policeman. You know a policeman, what does a policeman do? By the virtue that they are registered as police in the community, they give them the badge, they give them the authority. So they can actually walk up to you in a traffic. And because you see their badge, they give you their ID card, you know they have authority, right? And if you don't cooperate with them, they have the power to handcuff you. And they have the power to taser you, right? So they have that power. They can do that. But if they are in crisis, they will be calling to the headquarters. Oh, I'm here. Please come and help me. Come and shoot this guy. Oh, you have the gun. Come and taser this guy. I'm in trouble. I'm in distress. Come and taser him. Oh, the gun is with him. They've already given him the authority. They've given him the power. Same thing with us. God has given us the authority. He has given us the power. And it's now left for us to utilize that. Praise the Lord. We move to the next slide. Now that we've gotten an understanding of what power is. So we're going to be looking at various topics. Why were we given this authority and power? Why? Why did Jesus choose us? Why did he choose me to give me this authority and this power? So we can see here, there's an adversary. Like we read from our first slide, right? The enemy is just going around looking for whom to devour. He went to Jesus. Will he not come to you? He will come. It's just a matter of time. If he hasn't come, he will come. But good news, we have authority, we have our power. So there's an adversary that is trying. And what is the sole purpose of this devil? Is it just to deceive us? No, he's interested in our soul. Immediately you say you are a Christian, there is a target on you. So don't feel pity that, oh, is it only me? All this trouble. See all my colleagues. See all my friends. Why is it? It's because you are a child of God. It's because you are heaven bound. I want us to always have that at the back of our mind. Our salvation is very, very critical. We need to guide it. That is what the adversary is interested in. But thank God, the Bible tells us in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you the authority to trample. Hallelujah. Everybody, I want to see you trampling. Trample. You have the authority to trample on serpents, trample on scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, nothing shall by any means hurt you. I know most times Christians are afraid to say that. They say when they say that, the enemy will come after them. I remember one time I had a friend when they are doing prayers and everything. She said, let the devil stay in his own lane. Let me stay in my own lane. You need to use your authority. If you don't use your authority, you continue to operate in a very very substantial level. Jesus wants us to be on the top. As we saw in that picture of the authority, the person was on top. That is the level God wants us to. He has also given us this power to preach the gospel. It is not our gospel. It is the gospel of Christ. We are supposed to go into the world and bring souls. When you minister to them, you are not the one that will convince them. They said that the gospel is foolishness to the people in the world. Because when you preach to them, they were like, something is wrong with you. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the word of God, when you declare the word, they wouldn't even know what is going on inside them because the Holy Spirit will take over. Ours is to declare the word to them. Praise the Lord. I won't be able to read all the scriptures. We also been given power to heal the sick, deliver the oppressed. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the next slide, please. How to dwell in the word. Sorry, some of the slides have been moved. It was PowerPoint was prepared in Apple Mac and then moved it to Windows, so it kind of disrupted some of the heading. How to dwell in the word. So we've looked at why the enemy is pursuing us, why we need this word to preach the gospel, to declare the word of God, to overcome the enemy. How do we dwell on this word of God? The first subtopic we have there is put on the whole armor of God. We have to put it on. We have to put on the word of God. We have to, I only focused on one verse there. So as you can't really see the armor here, the picture of the armor. But if you are a soldier, how does a soldier dress? They have their helmet. They have their shield. They have their shoe of brass. They are completely decked. Why should we as Christians go out in the morning not completely decked? You are in fierce war. And you go out, you don't have your shield, you don't have your spear, you know, you don't have it. Maybe you just put on your helmet and you're just walking. No, the Bible expects us to put on the whole armor of God. But we are going to focus on just one verse. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I don't want to focus on the other aspect. Those are also important. I want us to focus on the word. So it says the helmet of salvation, the first step. We must be born again. We must have a relationship with God. If you have, you living with your mother or your daddy or your spouse, and there's no communication, you're not talking, how will you know what they want? How will you know when they need help? How will they know what is in their mind? Same thing with God. He wants to have a relationship with us. So the first step is for us to put on the helmet of salvation. And that helmet must be the helmet that I really love this God. I really know this God. Not the helmet that I'm just following this God. If he heals me, I'm his child. The day my healing does not come, I will think twice. You must have a deep root. What is helmet? Your head is very, very special. Most times the enemy wants to attack our head. Head is where most of the things, your memory is there, your thinking faculty. The enemy wants to attack it. So we need to have a solid relationship with God. The relationship that does not depend on the things around us, does not depend on how we feel, how things are moving with us. It's like regardless whether the rain is falling, the sun is shining, I will follow Jesus. Praise the Lord. And then it says, and the sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit. What do you do with sword? You attack, right? You attack. You know, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So it's trying to tell us we have power. We have authority. Most times when they call for a prayer meeting, anointing service, bring handkerchief, bring olive oil, which is very, very good. I'm not looking down on them. What do we do? We take it so serious because we think we're going to get power, right? That once the pastor anoints that anointing oil, this anointing oil is coming from Jerusalem. This anointing water is coming from here. They really, really prayed. The prayer team prayed a lot on this anointing oil. And we believe, we think, which is true, it is the power. You know, we think that is the power. But I tell us, one of the aspects people really underestimate is the word of God. There is power in the word of God. Never us underestimate the word of God. Sometimes we think the word of God is just this Bible we carry around, or just because we read it on our phone, we think it's just the word of God. It's supposed to help us to live a moral life. No, word of God is beyond living a moral life or telling you what to do. It is powerful. There's power in it. How to dwell in the word of God? Another aspect is study the word. Let's read Joshua 1:8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Are you looking for success? Go into the word of God. Do you want to prosper? Go into the word of God. But what do we see? People are looking for success and they are running around. We are running around looking for dollars, looking for money, trying to read all the PhDs in this world. But this is where the success is, the word of God. Let's spend time with the word of God, digging deep. Sunday school, Sunday school, Bible study. We should take it very, very serious. Sometimes I look at the numbers of us that come for Sunday school, look at number of us that come to Bible study. You are missing out. You are missing out. I'm not trying to cajole you, or I'm not a Sunday school teacher, but I have been highly blessed, and I know people that are highly blessed. If you want to be a Christian, you must study the word of God. You must stay in the presence of God. You must eat the word of God. You must chew the word of God. You must live the word of God. That is the essence of Christianity, the word of God. And he has told us that it is life. It is power. Why do we miss it? Why do we give it low priority? The word of God is powerful. See, you can see from Joshua 1:8, it said, the book of the law shall not depart. Meditate on it day, night, morning, afternoon, night. You might ask yourself, I go to work, how will I be able to do this? I remember when I was raising children, very young, very busy, you know, I was like, how will I get the word? You can make stickies, stick the word of God, scriptures in your room, stick scriptures in your kitchen, stick scriptures around you, you know. Sometimes you're cooking, let the Bible be reading, it's coming in. You know, at night, sometimes put on the word of God, let the word of God be playing. You know, those are the ways you can have it day and night. And then take advantage. This church has great teachers I'm not advertising them once again, and disclaimer, but let's take advantage. Sunday school, come in early. You should come in 5-10 minutes before Sunday school starts. Prepare yourself. Receive the word. Soak in the word of God. Bible study. Why should you miss Bible study? You know, if it's your job, try and see how you can prioritize this. And if you can't, you know, you can always go live for Sunday school. We always have the message on YouTube. You can always go back, listen to it. Let's take advantage of the word of God. I want us to read the Bible study part. It says, Luke 10:38-42. Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, Jesus was telling her, you are worried, upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. The word of God will not be taken away from you in Jesus' name. In the past, when I used to read that verse, I used to wonder, but Martha was trying to entertain Jesus. Hospitality is good. You know, it's good to entertain if you have a visitor. But when I read this again, she sat at the feet of Jesus. How many of us are sitting at the feet of Jesus? Just sitting down, soaking in, enjoying his presence, enjoying his word. You know, we should move away from where we see that when there's power, people are shaking. We think that is where the power is. There's power in the word of God. Let's soak in the word of God. Let's read the word of God. Let's take advantage of Bible study. Let's take advantage of Sunday school. Let's soak in. Martha was there sitting, just listening to the word of God. I tell you, mountains are moved when we are learning. Perhaps you think because when we come, we are learning Sunday school, nothing is going on. It's for us as matured Christians. It's moving things. Chains are being broken when we are in the presence of God. You know, you go to a hospital, they will tell you, diagnose that. When you spend time in the presence of God, you go back, they're like, why did we tell you to come? What did we say was wrong with you? The word of God has gone and has broken every chains in your life, has moved things in your life. Let's take time in the word of God. There is power. Speak, pray God's word over your life daily, marriage, your children, finances, health, career, business, etc. on a daily basis. Praise the Lord. We need to speak the word of God. We need to declare the word of God. I remember a few years ago, myself, my husband discovered Kenneth Hagin. And then we started listening to Kenneth Hagin. And it was as if we were just becoming Christians afresh. We're like, what happened? It's like we pray in the morning, you finish praying and praying, and then in the afternoon, your same mouth, you've uprooted all the prayer you did, you know, because you pray, and then you come back in the day, you are speaking your circumstances, you're speaking the economy, you are speaking what you are seeing. Our words are not aligned with our prayer. And then we say, is this God really answering prayer? Is prayer being answered? I tell you, when we line our prayer with our word, we will see wonders. When we pray scriptures, when we stand on it, even though it doesn't look like what we are saying, people are saying, but you are praying prayer, you are speaking this word. We're not seeing the difference. It doesn't matter. Your God, our God will always come true to us. Let's make sure our word lines up with what we are speaking. We need to speak the word. He said, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So the word of God is in our heart. It is in our mouth. But how will you have it in your mouth when you don't read the Bible, when you don't attend Sunday school, when you don't attend Bible study, when you don't fill your heart and your life with the word of God? We need to do that so that it will be near our heart. And then it will be like when Jesus was talking to the devil, it is written. Was he struggling to go and look for his Bible or look for pastor? Pastor, come and help me. Oh, devil is here. He just said it naturally. It is written. It is written. It is written. And it was not once, it was not twice, 3 times. Praise the Lord. We move to the next topic. What is the word of God? Now we've been talking the word of God. Is it just this paper that I'm carrying around or the one on our phone? And just quick highlights on it. Word of God is power. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. Like I said, if you're preaching to the unbelievers, they're like, what are you saying? Like our sister was giving testimony, people were saying, you mean you give tithe? Is it the money even enough for you? And you're giving tithe in your church. So it will be foolishness to people of the world. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. The word you have is power. You know, we have this word, but sometimes we don't know the value of what we have. If you don't know the value of what you have, abuse is inevitable. You will abuse it. You will live a defeated life. The word of God is power. The word of God is God. You want to know God? Read the Bible. You want to know God? Study the word of God. It says, John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So this word that we are talking about, I'm not talking of this paper. I'm not used to carrying Bible, I use phone. So it's not about the paper, it's not about the phone. The word in it is God. You are carrying God around. You're in the train, you are reading the Bible. That is the word of God. Word of God is food to our soul. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but in every word that comes from the mouth of God. I don't know if you've gotten to a stage that you really desire the word. You look forward to Sunday school. You look forward to Bible study. I always look forward to Sunday school. I love Sunday school. I love Bible study. You know, you look forward to it. You are hungry for it. You are thirsty for it. You know, you are basking in it. You also want to read. You want to read the Bible. You want to see what it has. And by the time you are reading it with all your heart, God will be revealing things to you. He will be exposing things to you. And you won't even have enough. You know, you'll just be going for more. It's like food. You see delicious food. I love food. You know, you see delicious food, right? You want to eat it. You want to savour it. You want to enjoy it. Same with the word of God. It is power. I want to know Jesus. What will I do? I want to study more. And if you read it, my dear brothers and sisters, the word of God is loaded. You can't even have enough of it. Read one verse today. Read another verse tomorrow. Different interpretation, different meaning, different revelation. The word of God is power. It is food, and we keep desiring it. Praise the Lord. We move to the next slide, please. Hindrances to exercising authority as we round up. Now we know we have what? Authority. We have power. It is in our mouth. We need to load ourselves with the word of God so that we can exercise that power. But guess what? There are certain things that could hinder us from really operating in this power. There are lots of them, but I just focused on sin. He said, it can rob us of our power. Your word have I hidden in my heart so that I may not sin against you. We need to hide the word in our heart. Right? If you don't have the word of God in your heart, how will you overcome temptation? If Jesus did not have the word, how would he have overcome that temptation? And guess what? Immediately after that temptation, read the chapters after, he just went around. Miracles, 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 miracles. That is power. He was able to build up his power bank. Like you build up your power bank, your phone, you know, it's fully charged. You can go around and use it you know, call, make this, browse, right? But when you come back again in the evening, you need to do what? Charge it. If you don't charge, will you be able to use it? If we don't charge our life with the word of God, will we be able to exercise power? No, we need to constantly be connected. And in Genesis 3, 1 to 7, it said to the woman, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree. So you can see here that after Eve was tempted and she failed, what happened? See the contrast between Jesus and Eve? Jesus was tempted and he went out in power, right? Because he had the word of God dwelling in him. Now we see the first Adam. Eve was tempted. Did she have the word? No. She was negotiating with the devil. Yeah. He said, we may eat of the fruit, but we cannot eat this one. And then she was like, why did he even tell me not to even? She was not negotiating. And she failed. And what happened? She was chased out. Our power, our authority will not be taken from us in the name of Jesus. The enemy will not rob us of our power. We will operate in power. We will operate in miracles. We will operate in our authority in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll move to the final slide. Conclusion. In conclusion, we've talked about the word of God. It's good to talk about the word of God. It's good to speak it. It's good to declare. It is well with me from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I shall not lack. You know, we declare Philippians 4:19, the Lord shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. You know, we declare all the healing scriptures. We declare. How many of us are doing it? We need to also do it. So in conclusion, it's not just declaring it, just saying, Jesus, you have it in your Bible, so do it. We also have to be doers of this word. James 1:22-25, but ye be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I pray for grace to do the word of God to every one of us in Jesus' name. We will not pray in the morning and then in the afternoon we are declaring the word, but we are doing the opposite of what we are declaring. Our declaration will be aligned with our actions in Jesus' name. And another conclusion I want to know, take home. You should realize that you are seated with Christ. Say, I am seated with Christ. I am seated with Christ. Far above principalities. That is where we are. We are seated with Christ. And he said, and God raised up with Christ, raised us up with Christ, and seated us with him. Do you know what it is to sit with Jesus? You are the VIP. I am a VIP. You are important. You are special. We are sitting with Jesus. We are not just redeemed and we are just going around like that. No, we are sitting with him. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of his Father and we are seated there with him. That is where we reside. We have authority. And he says, we are seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. There were other scriptures I would have put, but for the sake of time, I limited the scripture. But the pictorial I have here, you can see that is your feet. And who is under that your feet? The devil is under your feet. If devil is under your feet, what do? You match him. Trample on him. Trample on him with the word of God. Not just trampling by saying it. Use the word of God. Be in depth with the word of God. Stay in the presence of God. And you will be able to operate here. The enemy is under our feet. Praise the Lord. Let us rise up and let us pray. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. You send your word and you heal it all our diseases. Blessed be your name. Let's begin to appreciate God. We're going to take just 3 prayer points. I just want you to thank God for the word that you have heard. Tell God that you will not live here the way that you came, that this word will fall on the fourth ground. Speak to yourself, speak to your body that you will do the word of God. You will be the doer of the word of God. Let's pray that, Lord, help us to be doers of your word. Father, help me to be the doer of your word. Help me to walk in power. Help me to walk in authority. Help me to fill my life daily with your word. Father, I thank you because I am a doer of your word. I am walking on authority. Thank you, Jehovah, Lord in heaven, because, oh Lord, your word shall continue to work wonders even in my life. Thank you, eternal rock of ages. We are going to take the next prayer point that, God, help us to prioritize your word above our career, above our ambition, above our material possession, above our family. Prioritization of our word. Father, we pray this day that we will prioritize your word in our lives. We will prioritize your word daily in the name of Jesus. We will not worship money. We will not worship our career. We will not worship our husband. We will not worship our wives or children. Lord, we will worship you only, as Jesus was able to overcome the enemy. And he said, thou shalt worship the Lord your God and him only. Father, I thank you because we receive the grace to worship you, to prioritize your word above every circumstance in the name of Jesus. Finally, we're going to take the final prayer point and say, Father, help me to exercise my authority. Help me to exercise my authority as your child and to live in constant victory daily. Father, I thank you because I will exercise my authority going forward. I will live in victory all the days of my life in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your children. Thank you because we will live in constant victory. None of us will be defeated anymore in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless your name in the name of Jesus. I want to raise an altar call. Perhaps you're listening to us online, or even you are here and you know you don't really have a deep relationship with God. You're not even sure when you gave your life to Jesus. This is an opportunity. Just say within you, Father, take me as I am. I want to be your child. I accept you as the Lord, as my Lord and personal Savior. Thank you for forgiving my sin. Thank you for writing my name in the book of life. Hallelujah. Father, we bless your name. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you adoration. Father, we have declared your word. Your word has gone forth. Thank you, Father, because it shall not come back the way it was released. Father, it will accomplish the purpose by which you prepared this message for. We bless your name because even this day, Father, your children shall begin to operate in authority and in power. Mighty King of glory, we magnify your name. Thank you, Jehovah, for in Jesus' name we have prayed.
If you have been truly blessed, let's